Okay, so we're now into the third day of the Chinese New Year. The Chinese New Year, everybody knows, has 15 auspicious days. But what I'm going to talk about today is how to make every day an auspicious day by developing four qualities of mind. And the good thing about this is you don't have to register to be able to develop these qualities of mind. You don't have to belong to any particular organization. You don't have to be a Buddhist. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be an atheist or anything else. Anybody can benefit from developing these qualities of mind. And similarly, for anybody to benefit from this, they don't also have to join your organization. They will naturally be able to feel these qualities of mind emanating from you, and they too will benefit from it. One time, Brahmin came to the Buddha and asked how it was possible to live like a god. Okay, and at that time, the Buddha taught these four qualities of mind that can be developed, and by which, if you live like this, you are living like a god on earth. You don't have to wait for another life or anything like this. When you develop these qualities of mind, instantaneously you will benefit from it, and other people will benefit too. So the first quality is, in Pali we say metta. It means, literally it means friendliness, but it means something like, in English we can say loving kindness, something of this sort. It's the sort of quality of mind that you wish for your friend, good wishing for your friends, but without any attachment to it. So it's the sort of quality you always wish well for your friends, that they prosper and so on and so forth, and that they do well, but without any attachment. And so it's not only for your friends, but also to be spread to other people as well. Now there's a practice, a meditation practice associated with this. When you're developing the practice, what you first do is develop metta, develop loving kindness towards yourself, and then towards people who are close to you, people who are you're indifferent to, and then also to people who are perhaps classed as enemies or foes or people who are opposed to you. That's the practice of metta. It's a meditation practice that you do at certain times during the day, but really what you need to do is you're doing the practice in order to make that quality of mind something that is with you throughout the day so that other people can feel it. Now, as you might imagine, the Buddha had this quality of mind in abundance, and you may remember the story that after the awakening he walked over from Uruvela over to Varanasi, what is now Varanasi, in order to teach the group of five monks. When they saw him coming in the distance, they actually made a resolution, because they had been with him earlier in his ascetic period, and they thought that he had given up the struggle and that he had stopped his efforts, and like this they were not happy about this. And at that time, that means before he was awakened, at that time they left him, and they just left him by himself in the forest, just presuming that he's given up the struggle and that he can't get anywhere anymore. So when they saw him approaching from afar, from a distance off, they decided that they would put out a seat for him, but they wouldn't get up and greet him. They put out a seat because he was a certain high ranking, you know, he used to be a prince and so on. So they put out a seat for him, but they would not pay respect for him. But as he approached and as he got nearer, it was actually the power of his metta, the power of the loving kindness emanating from, you can say, every pore of his being, that made them, it was like, they say it's like a fire in a nest of the birds. So if there's a fire in the nest of the birds, they have to get up. And the power of the metta was so strong that when they came within range, the people, it means the group of five monks, stood up to greet him. So it's the same when you meet anybody now. If you've ever met anybody with really strong metta, I met a number of monks who have really, really developed that meditation. And then when you come into their presence, it's really palpable. That means you can really feel it. It's a really strong energy, like a strong chi around them. That, you know, and you naturally feel attracted to them. So it's like part of the law of attraction. So this is good business skill as well. If you're a businessman in some way or other, if you're really aggressive and really sharp with people and so on, people are not going to want to come to your shop, or they're not going to want to buy your insurance. They're not going to want to be friends with you. They won't want to mix with you. On the other hand, if you have developed this quality of mind, then people will like to be with you. They will like to come and talk to you in your shop. They will like it when you visit them. They will like to come and visit you also. But not only will other people like you, but even animals can feel that. Animals are very sensitive to emotional quality. So there's an interesting story about, well, not just one story, actually there's a book full of stories about a monk in Sri Lanka called Arnandasiri. So this monk is very famous in Sri Lanka. He founded a couple of very remote hermitages. I've been to one of them, which is in the Yala National Park. It's very remote indeed. You have to cross over what is basically a brush desert, and you go into a very remote area. The monastery itself is about 5,000 acres, and there's wild animals everywhere. In that monastery, you come across wild elephants, you come across leopards, you come across tigers and boars and all sorts of different creatures. Now, Arnandasiri wrote a book eventually. It's called 25 Years of Life in the Jungle, because he spent 25 years in the jungle. But he had very strong metta. He had this quality of mind, and he many times come into contact with wild animals, even man-eating animals, but he never had any problems with them. They would even come up very close to him. He would never have any problem with them. Also, metta meditation is taught, especially if you're having trouble with ghosts. The best thing to do, actually, is to develop metta meditation. If there are antagonistic spirits around, the thing that is guaranteed to win them over to your side is to have a strong heart of metta. So you can see in all various ways, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or you're poor, that means rich or poor materially, whether you're in good standing or bad standing, you develop these qualities of heart, and the fact of the matter is that your life is going to improve, and it's going to improve the life of the people around you as well. So the first quality of heart is wishing well for other people, hoping that they can attain happiness. The second quality of heart is called karuna. It's sometimes translated as compassion. How it's defined in the commentary, the metta is wishing that other people be happy. Karuna is wishing that they be not unhappy. So again, this is another very practical thing. If you start helping other people, there's a practice for it. There's you know, a sitting practice for it. That's when you try to develop this, you think about other people who are in, you know, poor states of mind, or they might have poor quality of life, and you wish them well. But afterwards, of course, you have to do something about it. Yeah. You have to go out and actually help people. But anybody who is helping other people is always liked by other people as well, because they can see what a generosity of heart that person has. So it's the same when the Buddha got awakened. Originally, he had an inclination, like a strong inclination, not to bother to teach, because maybe people can't understand, maybe this is very difficult for people. People are not very interested in this sort of thing. They're actually bound up with sensual desires and so on. So it's said that a Brahma god came down from the Brahma heavens and pointed out to the Buddha that there are actually some people in the world who could benefit from the teaching. Even if it's not many, nevertheless, there will be people who can benefit from the teaching. So the Buddha also had this quality of compassion in his heart, and seeing that although it's going to be trouble for him, anytime you try to help other people, it's going to be trouble. There's going to be some trouble involved. There's going to be some effort involved. Yeah. But so there will be some problems for yourself. But nevertheless, it's worth making the effort because of the benefit that you can bring to other people. So it's the same with our own development of compassion for other people. One way of developing that is by teaching the Dhamma to people so they can benefit from it. Some people will be able to benefit. Some people will not be able to benefit. In fact, when you're teaching, you just try to look at those people who are actually benefiting from it, and you don't worry too much about those who can't. Same when you're helping people materially, you might go to you might go to like an old people's home, or you might go to a disabled home or something like that. Some people will appreciate your efforts and some people will not appreciate your efforts. But anyway, you just go with a heart wishing well for other people to alleviate their suffering, and you just try to pursue that without worrying too much about the response to it. Now, the third quality of heart is what's sometimes said appreciative joy. That means gladness at other people's success. It's the opposite of jealousy. Now, I always try to emphasize this every time I give a talk, because this quality not really talked about very much. It's not really comes up for discussion very much, but it's really an important thing, because if you take joy, first take joy in your own good deeds and take joy in other people's good deeds, if you really feel happy about the way you're living, you'll want to continue in that way, you'll want to do those things again, and you'll want to encourage other people to do them. That way, good will increase in the world and bad qualities will decrease. So one thing you can do when you go home tonight, what you tend to do is you just forget about what you did during the day. But what you can do is when you go home today and you go to bed in the evening, you can just reflect for 5 minutes, 10 minutes on the good deeds that you did during the day. That means coming along for a dana, you're establishing your precepts, you're going from refuge to the Buddha, you're listening to a Dhamma talk, you're giving dana. All of these are really good deeds. You should be really pleased with yourself that you do this. Not everybody does this. Not everybody comes along and gives dana during the new year. Actually, only a few people will do this. So you should feel really happy about the qualities of mind that you're developing during the day. And not only today, but every day. Every day you do something good for other people. It may only be a little thing. You may just smile at somebody. Maybe it's only a small thing like that, and that cheers them up in some way. Maybe it's a colleague at work or something who's looking a little down, and you just offer them a little smile, and that makes them a little bit happier, right? Easy to forget. Easy to forget the good deed that you did. But it's good when you, when you go to bed at night, just spend 10 minutes thinking of the good deeds that you did during the day, on any day you've done good deeds, and that way you'll want to do them again, you'll promote those good deeds, and things will get better. Now, the fourth quality is a different sort of thing. The first three qualities, everybody can understand, is a very attractive quality. You see somebody with loving kindness, you're attracted to them. You see somebody helping other people, you're attracted to them. You see somebody appreciating other people, then you're attracted to them. And these are really attractive qualities of mind. The fourth quality of mind enables you to stay steady at the times when things get difficult. So the fourth quality of mind is equanimity. We say in English, being even-minded. So whereas the first three qualities actually produce attractive states of mind, the fourth quality prevents you from having unattractive qualities of the mind. That means like aversion, hatred, anger, jealousy. All of those sort of things are replaced by keeping even-minded. So there are certain conditions that prevail in the world. That means sometimes you gain, sometimes you lose, sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad. So sometimes People praise you, sometimes they blame you, sometimes you have good reputation, sometimes you've got a bad reputation. It can't be helped. All of these things actually happen to the Buddha as well. Even in the first discourse, the opening of the first discourse in the discourse collection, that means in the Tripitaka, then what is happening is the Buddha and the monks are walking away from Nalanda to Rajagaha. There's two cities in northern India, and there's two people following behind them, a teacher and a student. And the teacher is always praising the Buddha, and the student is always blaming the Buddha. Alright, so the Buddha turned round to the monks and he said, in fact you shouldn't be bothered about blame or praise at all. If you were bothered about blame or praise, whichever way it came, you wouldn't be able to see the truth of the matter. If somebody is speaking the truth, you should just see the truth. If they're saying something that is right, you should correct yourself. If they're saying something that is wrong, then you should point it out to them, but not with anger or anything. You should just point it out with a kind heart. So you can see, if you develop these four qualities of mind, then really you're going to improve your own life, you're going to improve the quality of the life around you, especially people you're in close contact with, like your family, your friends, your work colleagues. All of these will benefit from it. You will be living happily, other people will be living happily, and every day will be an auspicious day. So, everybody say sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, so now come to the time when you're serving the dana. So as you're serving the dana, you should do it respectfully, making sure that everybody gets what they need, and do it with joy in your heart as well. Being really happy that you have this opportunity to give the dana. Not everybody gets this opportunity, and here you are, you have the opportunity today.